Okay, Shalom Rabbos, today's daf is Sukkah Daf Chav Beis, and we are here on Chav Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah, one of a couple of Mishnahs we'll do today. And the Mishnah says like this, HaSamech Sukkasu B'Kerei Hamita, if you support your Sukkah with the poles of a bed, and if Rashi said, if you look at Rashi, B'Kerei Hamita, with a full proper bed, Mita Shlema, you're supporting the Schach, so then the Mishnah says, K'sheira, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Im Inu Yecholo Lama B'Fnei Atzma, if the Sukkah cannot stand on its own, so then Psula, then it is no good. The Gemara immediately jumps in and says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the problem? Why can't you support your schach with a bed? Again, where if you're looking, what's the issue? This Gemara has two possibilities. Pligi bar Rabbi Zeirav, Rabbi Abba, bar Mamal. Chad Amar, one of them says, Mepinesha ein la keva, right? We've discussed several times that Rabbi Yehuda requires a certain kvius, a certain permanence to the sukkah, but if you're using your bed to prop up the schach and the sukkah, so that's obviously not so permanent. One of them says, is something we have not encountered yet in the Masechta, is that you're supporting it with something that is mekabel tuma. The bed being a kli, excuse me, is mekabel tuma. So you're supporting the schach and you're supporting the sukkah with something that is mekabel tuma, and that is no good. That is something that we have not seen yet, and that this Taklis Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like that, but it is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda that again, according to one of these either Rabbi Zera or Rabbi Arba Mamal, that you can't even use something that's mekabel tuma to support the schach. Right? Obviously, schach can't be a mekabel tuma right itself, but here you can't even use something to support the schach. The Gemara says, "May be nahu." What's an afkamina between these two approaches? Kigon shenaz b'shputim shel barzel v'zikei chaleim. And let's say you used iron spits as your walls and put schach on top. So the madam alafisha in lakeva, according to the one who says it's not permanent. Okay, so arayish lakeva. Obviously, iron walls, iron spits are totally fine. That's pretty permanent. Madam repetition amida b'davar makabel tuma. But according to the one who says that you're not allowed to use something that's makabel tuma to prop up the schach, I read me the makabel tuma, right? Metal spits are makabel tuma, and they would be no good. So Rabbi Abaye says, "Lo shanu elas samach aval sikech al gav mita ksheira." Now, when I explained the case in the Mishnah, it wasn't exactly precise. Abaye says that the Mishnah is saying only if you're supporting the schach with the bed. But if you just put the schach on the bed, meaning that so that the bed itself is the walls, and again, if you have a four-sided bed, how does that work as walls, right? It's not that you have physical walls, right? But if you remember, you could easily have a bed that has 10 tefachim from the ground, and then we say gudasik up to the top. So theoretically, you could have the walls if the bed itself, right, is the sukkah, and the schach is then, if you look at Rashi, right, set is not resting on the bed itself, but it's set. There's some sort of metal frame or some sort of frame that's around the bed, and the bed is the halachic walls. So then, ksheira, that would be totally fine. My time, what's the reason? Because we don't have any issue on either side because the mandam or the fisha in lakeva, according to the one who says it's not permanent, sareish lakeva, right? It's pretty permanent, right? If you put the schach on a proper frame, so then it's kavua enough. And according to the one who says that you're propping up the schach on something that's makabel tuma, you're supporting it. Right? Again, you're not using the bed, which is makabel tuma, to prop up the schach. Right? It's on its own frame for the schach, and then you're just using the bed as the walls. So then that's going to be fine. But again, regardless of who you hold like within Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, new Mishnah, top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Most of this Gemara is going to deal with a halach lamosh misinai called Chavut Rami, which I'll just kind of, it's hard to explain without actually seeing the context, but basically if you have two levels of wooden boards, do we view those boards as being a flat across? Meaning, let's say, I don't know, just these random numbers, if you have some slats and some boards that are, let's say, 5 amos off the ground, and then you have some slats and boards that are 10 amos off the ground, and you need to combine them to have a proper schach for whatever reason. Again, you'll see the case in the Gemara, but if you need to combine them, so do we say that halakhically they're considered to be straight across, even though they are separate from each other, right? One is higher than the other. That's going to be most of the discussion. But either way, the Mishnah, right, we'll get to that in a second. The Mishnah says, Sukkah hamaduvlelis, which is the Gemara is going to explain in a second what meduvlelis is. Well, the machokas, so we're not going to translate it now. So if you have a sukkah that's meduvlelis, Vishat silsa, meruba, mechamsa, and you have the shade that is more than the sun, so kshera. You'll ask me a question, didn't we learn that on Bezim and Aleph? Right, the first Mishnah in the Masechta, if you flip back, didn't we learn this whole thing about shade and sun in the first Mishnah? It says, at the last line of the first Mishnah, if you have more sun than shade, it's possible. So obviously, if the shade is more than the sun, it's kosher. So yeah, in Echanami, the Gemara will address this, don't worry. Ha'me'uva kemin bayis. Let's say if you have a sukkah that is me'uva, that is covered, like a house. What does that mean? Meaning there's literally no light getting through, and the Gemara also will define that for us at the end of today's daf. Even if the stars are not able to be seen from inside the sukkah, so then it is kosher. Obviously that implies that the lechachila is that you should be able to see the stars, and I think that's pretty well-known Mishnah. Okay, so Gemara immediately jumps in and says, "My meduvlelis, what do you mean, meduvlelis? What does that mean?" So Marav, sukkah ania, it means a poor sukkah. Okay, so what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, sheyesh b'schacha kanim ma'at. If you have the kanim, the reeds, are just a few here and there. Yesh ba of your harbe, and you have a lot of space. El she'ein bo shlosha biyachad. And you don't have three tefachim across on the what's it called of the reeds of the schach. Now in a kanami that you have for whatever reason 51% and 49%. Well, we'll see exactly how to understand the Mishnah, but the implication is that you have enough schach, but it's just very sparse. Now you don't have anywhere where you have three tefachim or wider. With the gaps, meaning the gaps are not three tefachim or wider. They just it's not so much. Not so much schach. It's kind of weird. It's considered quote unquote poor because the schach is not so plentiful. The Shmuel, Amar Shmuel says, "Kana ola v'kana yored." You have some sort of construction where one reed is up and one reed is down, meaning it's staggered. You don't have it flat across, but for whatever reason, you need to construct it so that you know, let's say you have two levels of supports for whatever reason. Then you have one reed on the bottom, one reed on top, one reed on the bottom, one reed on top, one reed on the bottom, one reed on top. And so it's not flat across like most of us, I would imagine, have. It's up and down and up and down and up and down. So that's what Shmuel says. And again, the Mishnah had said in both of those cases that it is kosher. Now, how do you read the Mishnah? That also depends on how you define meduvlelis. And Rav Tani, according to Rav, who said that we're talking about a sukkah with not so much schach. So Rav Tani Chada, Rav says that there's one halacha in the Mishnah, meaning that the first part of the Mishnah is one halacha. Gemara will explain what that means in a second. Shmuel says that we're talking about schach, where let's say you're using bamboo poles, so it's up, down, up, down, up, down. So Tani Tarti, that's the Mishnah is teaching us two different halachos. How does that work? So Rav Tani Chada, Rav says it's one halacha, meaning the Gemara expels it out for you. Sukkah meduvlelis, a sukkah that's meduvlelis, my meduvlelis, what does that mean? Meduldeles, that does not have a lot of schach. So shetzil and shet, meaning, in other words, shetzil samruvi mechamsa, that the shade is more than the sun. Right, kshera. It still, nevertheless, is kosher. Meaning, the second part of that first line of the Mishnah is explaining what meduvlelis means according to Rav, and that's why I said it depends on how you understand the Mishnah. But according to Rav, meduvlelis means you have enough reeds that are kind of like I said, it's 51-49% shade. As long as the shade is 51% more than the sun, so then it's kshera. Shmuel Tani Tarti. Shmuel says no, it's two different halachos in there. My meduvlelis mevulbelis. Mevulbelis. And then Shmuel says, no, it's two halachos. That a sukkah that's mevulbelis, meaning it's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down with the bamboo reeds or the sheets or whatever, or the shoots or whatever. Vetarti katani, and the second halacha, meaning, what does it mean, mevulbelis? It means mevulbelis, vetarti katani. And there are two halachos here. Sukkah mevulbelis, a sukkah with this up, down, of the schach, that's kshera. And a sukkah vetzilsim, mechamsa kshera, that the tzel, that the shade is more than the sun, then it is kosher. And again, why do you need to teach me that? So we'll see that in a moment or two. So Amar Abaye says, Loshanu Elishain Bain Zelazesh Shalashatvachim. This is only true when you tell me that in Mishnah, again, according to Shmuel, it says that the schach is mutter. If the schach is up, down, up, down, up, down, so that is only if there isn't three tvachim between the top row and the bottom row. But there, if there is three tvachim between the top and bottom, then it's possible. Again, because you simply, Abaye says that you're going to use lavud to combine the two rows of schach, and if it's more than three tvachim, right, that's going to be a problem. Amar Rava says, afili yesh ben zelazeh shlosha tvachim. Rava says, no, even if there is more than three tvachim between the top row and the bottom row, because nami lo amran ela she'ein begago tefach. Meaning, if it's more than three tvachim, it's only no good if the pieces of schach we're talking about are not more than a tefach wide. Meaning the piece of schach, let's say, is not a bamboo rod like my parents use. It's, let's say, a flat board that's a tefach the size of a fist. So let's say a tefach wide. So using flat boards. So you have a bunch of flat boards on the bottom row. You have a bunch of flat boards on the top row. And even if they're more than three tefachim, in height away from each other, if each board is a tefach thick, or a tefach long, or a tefach wide, rather, then it's going to be fine. Right? But if the boards themselves are a tefach wide, then it's going to be fine. Why? So this is what we pointed out before, damrinan chavot rami, because we have this chavot rami, which literally means is lower the top line and kind of line it up. And so we view it as if there's not two rows of schach, one on top of the other, but as if it is flat, straight across the top, because we kind of line things up, one on top of the other. What is this concept of chavot rami? Samarava, minah minala, dechi is, so not really where does it get it from, that's halacha l'moshe v'sinai, but minah minala, dechi is beitefach, aminah chavot rami, v'chiles beitefach, lo aminah chavot rami. Rava says, how do we know that if it's, we only say chavot rami, meaning we only say that the two rows are aligned if it's more than three tefachim away from each other in height, how do I know that we only say that if the boards themselves are a tefach wide? So the Tan, he brings a proof, a Mishnah and Ahalos. Ahalos? Yeah, Ahalos. Karus habayis va'aliyah she'in aliyah maziva. If you have boards in a house that do not have plaster, meaning they're just flat, straight boards, ve'in michuvanos, and they are aligned, meaning you have two rows, let's say again, two rows of boards, and they are directly, what, the top row is directly aligned with the bottom row. So if you look up, right, you see wood, only one row of wood, obviously because the second row of wood is directly above it. And if you would move, you know, let's say 5 feet, 2 inches to the right, you look straight up and you see the sky, because, again, the top row is directly aligned. So if they're mechuvanos, if they're aligned, then tumah tachas achas mehem tachtei tameh. If there's tumah underneath one of them, so then underneath that board it's tameh, but bein hatachtona l'alyona, meaning tumah tachas achas mehem tachtei tameh. If there's tumah underneath one of them, meaning underneath the bottom one, so then underneath that board is tameh, and underneath nowhere else is tameh. Meaning, if you remember that we had mentioned yesterday and a couple times in the Masechta, that the concept of an ohel, if you have a board that's on top of tumah, let's say a kezayis of tumah on one side, and then you have something else, let's say, something that's mekabel tumah on the other side, so the tumah will spread from the kezayis of the mace all the way to the other side of the board. So if you have these boards, again, that are aligned, so tumah underneath the lower one, that's going to be tummy. Bein tachtona l'alyona, if the tumah is between the upper and the lower, so then beinehem tummy. Between the two rows is tummy. Agabe alyona, and if the tumah is on top of the top row, so then kinegda adarakia tummy, then right straight up, it is tummy. But, hare ayu halyonos kibeina tachtonos, but if they weren't aligned perfectly, but the top row, right, the top boards fill in the space between the bottom boards, so that if you look up anywhere from underneath these two rows of boards, you're not going to see anything, meaning you're going to only see wood, because the top row is covering over all the holes, all the spaces, the gaps in the bottom row. So then, tumah tachteihem tachas kulan tameh. Right? If the tumah is underneath it, so then everything is tumah, because we view it as if it's a flat roof. So agabeim, and if it's on top of them, connect then other rakia tumah, and then it goes straight up to the sky. Allah, and we learned about this, that when do we say that we're going to view these two rows of boards as one straight flat roof? Right, that's only if there's a tefach wide on the boards, right? If the boards themselves are tefach wide, ubeinam poseach tefach, and the holes, the spaces, are also a tefach. But if there isn't between them a tefach, so then tuma tachas achas mehem tachtei tamei, and beinam agaveim tor. Then if there's tuma underneath one of them, so then only underneath that board, meaning we will not combine the top row and the bottom row. So alma, so apparently, what do you see? Ki is be tefach amir nechavut rami. V'chilas be tefach amir nechavut rami. So shmami no. So apparently, what do you see? That we only say this concept of chavut rami, that we're going to combine these two rows of boards if the boards themselves, right, are a tefach wide. So Gemar says, yes, Rav Kana v'karmer la shmeitzah. Rav Kana was saying this over, and Amar le Rav Ashi, the Rav Kana, Rav Ashi said to him, v'chol heichad ales be tefach amir nechavut rami. Really, if you don't have a tefach width, we're not going to say chavut rami. V'atanya, didn't we learn the brisa? This is already an Erevin. Right, if you remember, towards the end of Masechta, no, where is this Gemara? Nope, I take it back. At the beginning of Masechta, right? The Dalet, Daf Yud Dalet, and mentioned earlier, right? We mentioned earlier in the Masechta, right? That's where it's familiar, right? Okay, Daf Yud Ches it says. Okay. So if you have Korah Hayotzim Mikotozeh, if you have Negas Mikotozeh, right? If you want to close off a Mabui, so you have to put a Lechi or a Korah. Korah is a beam that goes across the top of it. So let's say you have a beam that's coming out of one side of the wall in this corridor, in this alleyway that you want to be able to carry in, but it doesn't go all the way to the other wall. Or you have one korah from one side and one korah from the other side, but they don't meet in the middle. Right? It doesn't go all the way across. If it's less than three tefachim between each board or korah, so then we just say lovud and we view them as if they are connected. Right? Shlosha, but if it's more than three tefachim between each board, so then tzarech lavi korah cheres, then you need another korah, meaning the korah is no good. This is not the proof. We're going to get to the proof right halfway down Amud Beis. This is just the entire brisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel says pachos me arba in tzarech lavi korah cheres, arba tzarech lavi la korah cheres. Basically, Rav Shimon Gamliel simply says, if you remember from Erevin, he holds that lovud is within four tefachim, not three tefachim. So he says the difference needs to be four tefachim, right? That you would still apply lovud. V'chein shtei korot hamatimos, and so too, if you have two boards over by the entrance to the mavui that are aligned, they're matimos, they're kind of aligned with each other. Lo bazu kedei lekabel ariach, lo bazu kedei lekabel ariach. Neither one of them is heavy enough or strong enough to it literally means to accept a brick. But to hold up a brick, that was, if you remember, that was the shear of the korah, needed to be substantial enough that, you know, it wouldn't blow away. So it needs to be the shear of substantialness. Is that a word? I don't know. But the shear has to be thick enough and strong enough to take a brick and rest it there. But or maybe ariach is a half a brick. I take it back. Meaning, what that code is for is that basically it's not a tefach wide. It's not long enough. Meaning if neither of them are strong enough, but you could combine them, right? In Mekabos Ariach L'Rochvo, if they would be long enough, right? If you could combine the two, L'Rochvo Tefach, Ein Tzarech L'Havi Korecheres. If they are a Tefach combining, so then it's fine. V'im Lav Tzarech L'Havi Korecheres. And if not, then you have to make another Korah. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Im Kabels Ariach L'Arko Shlosh Tefachim, Ein Tzarech L'Havi Korecheres. V'im Lav Tzarech L'Havi Korecheres. Right? He says the shear is three Tefachim. And not a single tefach. So okay, either way, tachlis, that is not the proof. Now we get into the exact point that we're trying to make. Again, what we're trying to say? We're trying to say that even if something is less than a tefach wide, we're still going to apply what's it called? This concept of chavud rami. So here's the point we're trying to make. Hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata. Let's say these two boards, these two korahs, are on top of each other, right? One above and one below. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Ron Eliona, Kilu Hilamata, Vesadachtona, Kilu Hilamala. Right? Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says, we line them up. and we view as if they are right on the same line. As long as they're not in totally different rishuyos, right? As long as the top one is not above 20 amos, and the bottom one is not below 10 tefachim, right? Hazev is zev b'toch esrim, right? But if they're both in the same space, so then amrina chavur rami. Then we say chavur rami that we're going to combine them. Avagav dales b'tavach, even though there is no tavach, right? That again, it doesn't mention anything about these koras being a tefach wide. So simply, right, Amalei, so Rav Kahana said back to Rav Ashi, no, Taras to Emahachi, right, all you have to do, right, is amend the brisa. Ubavach lo tehe elyona lamala me esrim, ela batoch esrim, batachtona smuchola vapagos mishlosha, right, again, just as long as the top one is not above 20 amos, and as long as the bottom one is close enough, is within three tefachim, inami or bilvachlo tehe tachtona lamata me'asara el lamala me'asara ve'aliona smucha l'pakos mishlosha, right? Or you could have the bottom one it's not less than 10 tefachim, or you could alternatively you could have the top one within three tefachim of the lower one. Aval shlosha, but if it's within three tefachim of each other, came in the less beitavach, since there is no tefach there, lo aminon. Chavud Rami. I just have to mend the brisa to point out that no, there is a requirement of having it be a tefach wide. So that's exactly what Rava said, that we only apply Chavud Rami if it is a tefach wide. Okay. Vitzilsam Ruba Mechamsa Kshira. The Mishnah had said, if you have, again, I promised that the Gemara would deal with this, right? The Mishnah had said that if the sukkah has shade that is more than the sun, then it is kosher. Aye, didn't we learn in the first perek, first Mishnah, that if the sun is more than the shade, it's no good? So the Gemara says, Ki Adadi Psula. How does that contradict? First of all, you don't need to teach me the same halacha twice. Second of all, the implication from each Mishnah is different. If you tell me that the shade is more than the sun, then it's kosher, that implies that 50-50 is possible. If you tell me that the sun is more than the shade is possible, that implies that 50-50 is kosher. So that's what the Gemara says right now. Ki ha'adadi psula, our Mishnah implies, right, again, our Mishnah says that if the shade is more than the sun, it's good, i.e., it has to be more than the sun. If it's equal to the sun, it's no good. Ki ha'adadi psula, apparently it's possible. And we learned in the beginning of the first parak, and the other parak literally means, but the first Mishnah, that if the sun is more than the shade, it's possible. That implies that if it's 50-50 and equal, then it's kosher. Meaning that it has to be more, the sun has to be more than the shade for it to be possible, implying that a 50-50 is good. So it says, lo kosher, kami lamala, kami milamata. So a couple of ways to understand this, let's use Rashi, that it depends on where you're looking. If it's on top, meaning if the top of the sukkah, is sun more sun than shade, so then it's going to be possible. But if it's the bottom of the sukkah, where there's more sun than shade, then it's going to be 50-50, then it's going to be fine. Meaning, if you're seeing more sun than shade, if you're seeing 50-50 sun and shade on top, so then it's going to be possible, because you're going to end up seeing more sun on the bottom. And if you're seeing 50-50 sun and shade on the bottom, that means that there was enough schach, there was enough shade on top. And that's what Amar Rav Papa, says, this is what people say, kezuza mila'el ki'istra mila'tachas, that the size of a zuz, la'el, literally means before, but it means on top, right, is going to be like an istra below. An istra is a different type of a coin. Pashtus, Rashi says, is a bigger coin. We'll just talk about Tosus in a second. But the implication is, right, if you have the light that's on top, or the size of a small coin, it, as anybody knows, right, kid has a flashlight, right, from age, 2, 3, 4, in a tent, points a flashlight, the light that you see from the flashlight shines a bigger light on the wall. So that's what we're talking about over here. If you see 50-50, sunlight shade on the bottom, it means that the shade on top must have been less. But if you see 50-50 shade and sun on the top of the sukkah, so then you're going to have more sun on the bottom because the light gets bigger. Now, Rashi says that just to point out something interesting, I think, is that Rashi says that an istra is a bigger coin and a zuz is a smaller coin. And that's how we explain the Gemara. Tosis is a couple of problems with that. One of them is pretty interesting because he says... that in Kiddushin, right, this Tosus Dibur Maskal Kazuzo, he says the Gemara at the beginning of Kiddushin says that people call a half zuz an istra, meaning an istra is a half of a zuz. So he says that Alma istra pachas mizuzo. Apparently, you see that an istra is less than a zuz, not more than a zuz. So that theoretically, if an istra is half a zuz, so the coin should be smaller. And that's one of his questions. Probably, I think we. it's just interesting to see that that's how coinage worked back then, because nowadays that's certainly not necessarily true. Right? Dimes are smaller than nickels. In Israel, a half shekel is way bigger than a shekel. A 50-cent piece is bigger than a small $1 coin. And again, you see all over that's not necessarily true. But again, back then, apparently, it makes sense that that's how they would do it. But it makes sense that back then the coins kind of got bigger as the value went on. Okay, let's just finish and get to the Mishnah. Mu'uva kamin bayis, if you have the schach, it's so thick, it's like a house. And we said, even though you can't see the stars, so then it is kosher. To Tanur Rabbanan, ha'mu'uva kamin bayis, alfa pisha in kochavin nirin, mitoka k'sherit. Right, again, the price says, it's simply the same thing, that if sukkah is thick like a house, so then even though you can't see the stars, then it's fine. If you can't see, literally means the stars of the sun, but Rashi says, right, that's it just means zeruri chama, it means the what's it called, the rays of the sun. If you can't even see the sun, meaning it's literally a roof, right, you can't even see anything through it, so that's machogas. Beisel would say that it would be fine, and then obviously we would pass on like Beisel over here. But Pasha says everybody is able, most people I would imagine are able to see a little bit through the schach and don't actually lay down such a thick piece of schach. But again, it would be kosher in that scenario. Okay, Shkoyach Kol Rabosei, we'll go back there in the Heilige Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.